This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, so the last thing we're going to get to is Nebraska volleyball. And we're going to do a little bit of a short season preview here for them. We talked about them at the red-white match last week, but Evan and I will talk just a little bit about them.
I could talk.
Well, if you want, I'd love for you to talk.
I went to the scrimmage.
It. You did go to the scrimmage.
Absolutely.
I would love it. I'd love for you to talk.
It was electric because it was even. Usually that thing is a, it's a sweep because the one team is better than the other.
Best red-white ever.
But this, well, it was because it was so, there were shots coming from all angles, from all players, great plays, defense, blocks, kills, just rockets. I mean, it was like, hey, the young kids can play, and they don't really care right now. And it's everything's open. And that's the feel I get, is everything's open and everything's on the table. Everybody is going to be able to play. Now, they haven't been to Wisconsin or Minnesota yet or some of those places. But they've got talent. It's fun. And I don't know that they've always had – it seems like it's more spread out, more balanced. But John Cook's in a good mood. He's always in a good mood. He's got the stadium deal, and
he likes his team, doesn't he?
He likes his team, and he likes to be the hunter. And right now, they're the hunter. They're not number one. They are clearly chasing Wisconsin. Wisconsin has all the swag right now. They won the league three or four years in a row. They've been to the Final Four. They won it more recently. Heck, there's even more Wisconsin players on the Nebraska's on Omaha's Pro League team. There's more Wisconsin players than Nebraska on there. What does that tell you? So, of course, there's another pro team too. But I don't know, guys. I mean, I think it's gonna be another great year. The stadium thing is a great kickoff to it, keep an eye on a possible special guest showing up next Wednesday night.
I like that.
Special guest who just had a parade in his honor. Keep an eye on maybe that might be in the works.
Okay.
All right.
That would be very cool.
A podcast drop there.
No, I like that. I'll tell you what, that would be quite a cheer. For that special guest, that special guest deserves the opportunity to hear 95,000 people at once.
That'd be pretty cool.
Oh, would it ever? Yeah, that would be for sure. So here's the top 10 of the AVCA preseason poll. And Tom mentioned that Nebraska is the hunter, not the hunted. Texas, Wisconsin, Stanford, Louisville, Nebraska, Pittsburgh, Minnesota, Penn State, Oregon, Kentucky. That is the top 10. Nebraska plays five of those teams during the season. They play Wisconsin, obviously, Stanford, Minnesota, Penn State. Penn State's ranking surprises me, but then I realize they got Ohio State center and Kentucky. To go over the schedule very quickly here for people who don't remember it, because I feel like a lot of, and rightfully so, the majority of the conversation about this upcoming season has been about the match on the 30th.
No doubt.
This weekend, Nebraska starts. They play Utah State, Lipscomb, and SMU. I have no idea which of those teams is the best. UNO, which took Nebraska to five sets 2 years ago, at K-State, Creighton, and Creighton is, I don't know what they're ranked, 18th?
They're always right there.
It'd be really
right
good again, there. Yeah.
Creighton, Long Beach State, at Stanford, Kentucky. That's their non-conference schedule. So The biggest matches in the non-conference are Creighton, Stanford, and Kentucky.
Yep.
Then they start the conference season, and it starts tough. Ohio State, Minnesota, Purdue. That's the first three. Those are tough. At Indiana. Then you have Michigan State, Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, at Northwestern, and then Wisconsin, Maryland, Rutgers. And then in November, it gets hard. At Penn State, at Rutgers. Rutgers isn't very good, but you still got to go there. Northwestern, Illinois, Michigan, at Iowa. Iowa sucks. And then to end the season on Thanksgiving weekend, at Wisconsin, at Minnesota.
Mm.
With the Big Ten title on the line, they have to play on the road. And they have to play in what I think most people would consider the second and third hardest venues in the Big Ten after Nebraska.
That happened a couple of years ago, they ended down there. I like that. I like the heavyweights ending together. Last year, it was at home. I remember watching
same matches,
Nebraska, Wisconsin in the Iowa press box. I remember watching that. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I feel
the busiest weekend of our lives, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. We had a head coach the next day, and you know,
unbelievable.
You know, I just feel like the Big Ten now is not just about the Iowa or the volleyball here, the Nebraska Wisconsin match. It's about who's going to beat or who's going to lose to Illinois or Ohio State. Who's going to lose to Purdue at home? You know, these little second wave schools in the Big Ten are getting really good. It's a deep league, so you not only have to worry about the heavyweight fights. It's the other ones. You can't slip up.
Well, and the depth will be interesting, too. We talk about the freshman class. Like, there aren't a lot of programs and a lot of coaches, maybe, that can navigate this depth of top-end talent. I'll be really curious to see how that shakes out, because I think we've seen it in the past few years where Nebraska was talented, but maybe it didn't always – the players didn't always totally jive with each other. You kind of got that sense. And Nebraska's best teams – had all that. They had the star players. They had the support, younger support players that sort of would ascend later in their careers. It'll be fascinating to see, like, where someone like Harper Murray fit in as a freshman, like, well, as talented as she is.
I really feel like what I felt last Saturday night is going to be huge. That's energy and excitement and this early momentum and adrenaline. I feel like at the end of the last year, Nebraska was just on fumes.
Yeah, injuries.
The COVID seniors, they've been around for so long. It just felt like they got banged up and they lost a Mackenzie Knuckles that injured mm-hmm. Wisconsin or some. I just felt like they felt like they were kind of done. They were just like, well, I just feel like they needed this new wave of energy and talent to come in, and okay, it's a little bit like starting over, but it's you can catch up in a hurry. And I just feel like the energy level is going to be up this year. And they were certainly very good last year, but it's time to reload.
Nebraska has not been a number one seed in a regional, excluding 2020. I don't know what the 2020 thing was in the bubble here. It doesn't matter. They haven't been a number one seed in a regional since 2016. They've won a national championship since then in 2017. But if you go back and look at it, generally speaking, teams that lose more than four matches, with the exception of, I think, the Wisconsin team in 2019, are not a number one seed in a regional. So basically what you have to do is you have to say you get about four losses. That's it. And why this is important is because, Nebraska has when you have to go on the road for that second weekend, you can get through it. Nebraska certainly did a couple years ago. They beat Illinois, and then they beat Texas on Texas's floor. But it's harder. It's harder to do. It's hard to win national championships when you're playing on the road like that. And so the goal, I think, this year especially is find a way to get a number one seed. Which means that based on the schedule that I just laid out, they got to find a way to win all but three, four matches. And you probably got to win the Big Ten, because there was the 1 year when Wisconsin had six losses, they won the Big Ten, and Nebraska was the number two seed in Wisconsin's region, and it was more about, hey, the Badgers were better. They seem like they're really good. Wisconsin has a great transfer from Northwestern who's terrific, and they got a lot of other players back too. But so they're going to be tough to beat.
But I like this program, Sam, as an underdog. I mean, how many times have we seen Cook go to the Final Four through Austin, Seattle? There was another time they were somewhere on the road. That may be how it has to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to get that number one where you're hosting. It's going to be hard with this kind of team. But they can be the kind of team at the end of the year that goes on the road surprises somebody, you know, knocks off a number one seed.
For sure. For sure. I think that's entirely possible. Key question, key storylines for this year. Setter battle, yep. Bergen Riley against Kendi Orr. I think it'll be Riley eventually, but we'll see if they rotate it early. How much the freshmen play? So Harper Murray appears to be, is that first time you'd seen Harper Murray play? That's pretty special stuff. She's great.
It's fun.
Yeah, she's really going to be something at Nebraska. She's an outside hitter along with Allie Batenhorst and Lindsey Krause. I think there's a rotation there. And then there's who's going to be your middle blockers. And I was listening to Lauren Cook, who was on Jack's Mitchell's show down in Lincoln. And she said she thought that the second middle blocker would be Andy Jackson. Over Maggie Mendelson, who, you know, has been there a year. But
they struggled a little bit with that in the scrimmage.
Yeah.
They didn't. That's something they're going to have to work on. But it's August. And there you go. So, you know, it'll just has to be there in November.
It does. It does. So I think they're going to have kind of a fun team. I think the question marks that I have going into it is their offense going to be better? I was listening to Kelly Hunter talk on that new podcast, The Dig. She said that they talked to the U.S. women's national team setter, the U.S. men's national team setter, and the backup setter on the U.S. men's national team this spring about how to improve their offense. Now, Kelly Hunter knows all those people, so that probably helps. But they want to get back, I think, to playing better offense. In other words, just terminating balls, you know, scoring. And they have the best defense in the country, but I think they want to get better on offense.
You got
to
keep your defense. So you can't give anything away from defense to do that because, like he said, everybody plays offense now. It's the teams that play defense that are
Lexi Rodriguez makes up for a lot of that.
And they have the best – they generally have the best defense in the country.
Yeah.
Hunter mentioned that. And then, yeah, I think they're trying to figure out what they can implement and what they can't. And then, you know, here we go.
Sports, finally. We're a week away.
I'm glad.
It's time.
Boys.
It's beyond time.
It's been a long summer, hasn't it, guys? I feel like it's been a long summer.
It's been so long, I'm missing the College World Series at this point, just for some competition. Let's get this thing going.
The College World Series was the best thing about the summer, sports-wise, for sure. But other than that, it's been a long time since I feel like I've covered a Nebraska football game so much. So many rural pressers. Okay, that is our Pick 6 podcast for this week for Tom and Evan. I'm Sam. Thanks for listening. We'll be back Tuesday to preview the Huskers.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.